Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am here, as always, joined by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, we are crossing over the threshold to our sixth anniversary of this show.
Oh, man.
Being on the air, I think our first episode was like March 10th, 2020. So in between episodes, we will officially reach 6 years, and we are closing in on 150 episodes.
Wow.
So hard to believe that. I'm like, oh, if I ever stop, that would be so sad. I've like barely done it. And I'm like, no, I've been doing it for over half a decade. So,
yeah, they start coming and they don't stop coming.
That's really true. What's up with you?
Nothing much. Had a busy weekend. Of course, Stardom's like, hey, we're gonna run three shows on the day on the weekend. Where I'm like, damn, I don't have time for that. Where I worked on this weekend, which I typically do not do, and then today I went to a small comic show at a local library. But I did manage to watch one of the Stardom shows.
Well, we can all look back with fondness and remember when the Cinderella tournament was only one show.
Yep.
And say, where did the years go?
Yeah.
But we've got Stardom to talk about. We've got Marigold to talk about.
And Marigold! Much more.
So before we hop into it, of course, the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly, and you can follow me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, and if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get into it. The first show that we are going to talk about is Marigold New Year's Golden Garden. It is March, and we are still calling shows New Year's. Maybe work on
defense.
That.
This did happen in February.
Yes, at the end of February. I think things are, you like, would you wish someone Happy New Year on February 23rd?
No.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
My point
not.
Proven. this show was at Corican Hall in front of 895 fans. Kelly, what did you think of this show?
Mostly bad. It really accentuated everything that is bad about Marigold.
Yeah, I thought it was just mostly very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Not very interesting. I was shocked to find out, as we'll talk in a minute, they have another Corican Hall show in less than 1 week from today. And sometimes I think, stop running these Corican Hall shows so much. I didn't enjoy myself.
No.
So on that note, we'll dive right in. The show opened with a tag team match, Siri Yamaoka and Shino defeating Komomo Minami and Yuka Yamasaki in 12 minutes and 15 seconds. Right off the bat, the annoyance began for me. As on commentary, I think it was Sunny, but I don't remember, said, can you believe Yuka is only 18 and has only been wrestling for 9 months? And my thought was, yes, absolutely, I can believe that.
Yep.
The idea that every wrestler on the Marigold roster is a generational talent. I mean, I've talked about it before.
An embarrassment of riches.
It's so annoying to me. I was like, look, this actually I thought was a pretty solid match until the end when Sarah Yamaoka pulled out that horrible looking rolling pin.
Yeah, that was odd.
Like the rolling pin where she ended up in the ropes and was like, whoops, let me just roll over here. I actually thought the match was pretty good. I think Yamaoka and Shino are a good team. I think these are four of the more solid workers in the company, probably.
What's with Marigold crowds being so sleepy in the beginning of the show? They made like zero noise for this match at all.
Oh, in the beginning of the show. I have a thing later, which made me laugh. it's the whole thing. I mean, they're the old Stardom crowds that we were like, what's going on? Why are these Stardom crowds so quiet? Oh, maybe it's a weird cultural thing. And then Rossi left and the Stardom crowds were like, what if we made a lot of noise? It's just very weird. I thought the match was pretty good. Annoyed by all the talk of, oh, they're so great. Can you believe that you get to witness these wrestlers in the opening match?
What an absolute privilege.
And that was my thought.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Like I said, the crowd gave it absolutely nothing. And I thought the first half was pretty dry, but overall, enough match. I think I went 2.5 on it.
The next match was a three-way match. Nagisa Tachibana defeating Megaton and now Ishikawa. My only note on this match was, you know, Kelly, everyone on Earth, we haven't discovered it yet. Maybe it will come one day. We all have limited time on this Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We will all one day perish. And watching this match, I thought, I am spending even a section of my time watching Megaton matches. Why am I literally, the match ended and out loud alone in my apartment, I went, I fucking hate this. I was not saying it to anyone. I was just just a waste of time.
Would you believe that my notes read exactly, this was a real, what am I doing with my life kind of match.
There you go. Wow, we are really so in sync. I was like, I am wasting my life doing this.
My notes continue. Then Jiro came on the screen after the match. I've made a grave mistake watching this show.
Yeah, I fast-forwarded through the Jiro stuff because I was like, I don't have time.
Jiro is apparently the FMW champion and is going to be defending his title against Megaton?
Yes, at the next Korakuen.
Tremendous.
Yes, that is in the upcoming section, Kelly. You're jumping the order here a little bit. it was sort of funny that there was an attempt by Tachibana and Ishikawa to do a match.
Yeah, there was a little bit where it's like, hey, this could actually be all right. And then Megaton showed back up and it's like, oh, well, there that goes that.
But it was clear that like, when Megaton is not in the ring, no one should care.
Yeah.
About what's happening. Skip.
Yeah, don't watch that.
Unsurprisingly, based on the cage match ratings, the lowest rated match on the show.
But it's still rated way higher than it should be.
Correct. And I will say it is the lowest rated match on the show. There is, or there should be some concern that it's very close to the rating for the main event.
The ratings are weirdly high across the board for this, and but also low on the one match I really did like.
The next match, if you said I couldn't get enough of that three-way match, good news, we had another three-way match as Utami came in and defeated Hummingbird and Shoko Kishino in 8 minutes and 4 seconds. Gave Utami a win. Seemed mostly like they wanted to do Utami Shoko stuff. Hummingbird sort of like disappeared.
Yeah, Hummingbird
through the match
was there.
And to me, the biggest sign of, probably not the biggest sign, that's probably the wrong word, but a big sign of Marigold's weak roster is that putting Utami in matches like this, even if the point is like, okay, we're trying to keep Utami winning, we're trying to keep her like, oh, she's good, it feels like she's wasting her time doing
it. Yes, it. I saw her and I'm like, you're better than this. You don't need to fight fucking Lady Hiroshi Yamato.
But, you know, in Stardom, it's like, okay, some people are not in the mix of the type, you know.
Yeah.
World of Stardom, Wonder of Stardom. You think of Shuri. It's like she's still doing things. She isn't going down and wrestling Fukigen Death at a Korakuen Hall show. Like, that would be a waste of time. And this is a waste of time.
Yep.
So really was whatever of a match. It was announced after the match that two foreigners will be coming in, Angel Hayes and Maddie Morgan.
Angel Hayes is such a 2007 indie name.
Well, of course, there was Daisy Hayes.
Yes.
Famously. Angel Hayes, unless I'm spelling it wrong, is not on Cage Match.
Okay.
I spelled it both like Daisy Hayes and also like Rutherford B. Hayes. And Maddie Morgan is on Cage Match, is from Blackpool in the UK and is 18, but has wrestled almost 200 matches.
Oh,
all right. In her career, she has one rating on Cage Match. Which is a five.
Well,
Maddie is a decent wrestler, but she is no way as good as social media has made her out to be.
Shots fired.
But it does say she is still young. I expect this rating will improve in time. She is 18. Her big moves are the main event Maddie Moonsault, Hurricanrana, and a Spanish Fly. Because her nickname is Main Event Maddie Morgan. That's a lot of M's.
Main Event Maddie Morgan really sounds like OVW as fuck.
Well, Matt Morgan.
Yeah, like she sounds like someone that Al Snow is going to tell me is going to be someone in the main event of WrestleMania one day.
Well, it says she has an Instagram, but oh. She changed her Instagram. Well, yes. Okay. Oh, and she does have a poster up for appearing in Marigold.
Hey, good for her. That's better than a lot of wrestlers.
Promoting. Yeah, that is good.
Look, I'm going somewhere. Like, hell yeah.
All right. Well, they will be coming in on the upcoming tour, so you will see them soon.
She could be the next real deal Zeta Steel.
She could be, and be signed by AEW.
Yeah.
The next match was our first title match. It was the Trios titles presented by Team 3D titles. And that would be Irina Yamanaka, Mai Sakurai, and Natsumi Shozuki defeating the Darkness Revolution trio of Misa Matsui, Nagisa Nozaki, and Rhea Seto in 13 minutes and 12 seconds. We have been saved from Darkness Revolution as champions.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Oh.
You say we were saved, but also, it's kind of fucked up that this one unit they have lost to this random team.
I mean, yes. It's the power of being better at wrestling.
Yeah. The finish of this match, poor Rey Aceto got fucked up. Did you notice that?
Well, that, but also right before that, there was that weird sequence with Yamanaka and Seto where they just sort of grabbed each other for a while.
Yes.
They were just like, oh, grab. I was like, what is this?
And then Yamanaka was like, you're going to fucking eat my forearm.
Yeah.
I don't think it was on purpose, but goddamn, it looked like it sucked. But then she held on to the pin for way too long, and you could tell Rhea Seto was like, I just want to hold my face. It hurts so bad.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I will say I'm glad the more skilled team won. They have an upcoming to also look ahead. They have an upcoming title match, which I'm like, oh, six good wrestlers will wrestle each other. So right, that's good. Right. Another sort of like whatever. I mean, the heel interference. I'm over it in Stardom, where the wrestlers are a lot more talented.
Yeah,
I really don't like it here, where I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, no, please, what? Like, just wrestle a match and get it over with.
Yeah, it wasn't a disaster, but it also wasn't very good. Like, it was fine. I enjoyed it well enough.
The next match was a special singles match. Mayu Iwatani defeating Rin in 13 minutes and 23 seconds. Rin on her retirement road, having come back 2 months ago, announced that she came back so she could have a proper retirement. So a bit of a bummer for her to come back and then be like, I'm immediately out again.
Yeah.
Kelly, what were your thoughts on this match?
I really liked this match. I thought it felt drastically different from everything else on the card. And felt like, oh, this is the real wrestlers surrounded by the people pretending to be wrestlers. Thought it was hard-hitting, fast-paced. It really just felt like a breath of fresh air to see two wrestlers who seemed just confident in what they were doing and also being very good themselves. So I went 4.25. This was by far my favorite match of the show.
I was not that high. It was the clear best match of the show. I don't think anything else really was anywhere close in my mind. I wasn't blown away. Like, I probably would have gone like 3.5, 3.75. So I thought it was good. Seriously, where would this promotion be without Mayu Iwatani?
Yeah.
Like, imagine you take this match out of the show. This show is dire.
Oh, I would like to see this match on another show. I might be able to give it a fairer rating, but it was such an oasis in the desert where I just threw the stars at it.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Rin wanted the match, wanted a singles match. She got it. It's sort of hard to be like, oh, can't wait for the follow up, because it's like, well, in 3 months, Rin will be retired again.
Yeah. And presumably, Mayu is probably going to be out at some point. Like, I don't think this is going to be where she stays forever.
Yeah, and Mayu just sort of like, yeah, I'll come to your company and just sort of muck around in the mid-card. You know, in Stardom, it made more sense because it's like, oh, we've got a lot of super talented people. Here it's like she, doing this on a show, like, she should be the main event of every one of these
shows. This should have been the main event.
Yeah, except you can't do that with a world title match.
Yeah.
In the main event.
But maybe you can, because Chiaki's in the main event.
The semi-main event was for the Marigold United National title, and Victoria Yuzuki retaining that title, defeating Chika Goto in 16 minutes and 54 seconds. I'm proud to say Chika Goto managing a halfway decent giant swing.
Yes, it was. I thought it was really good.
On a wrestler very small who's about half her size.
Yeah, but you know what? It was good. It worked.
I was like, oh, it looks now at the end, she looked very tired.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that looks like it took it out of you.
Yeah.
Where like anyone else would be like, woo, 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 and I'm done. But got to take the progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your kid's getting a D in a class, but then the note is participates well, you got to focus on participating well.
Yep.
This is where I noticed the dead crowd, because near the end, I think Chika Goto had a near fall. I think it was a near fall. And she sat up and she went, wah! And there was no reaction.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I think three people in the background were like, clap, clap, clap. And I was like, oh, that's just rough.
Well, the problem is you're not giving the fans a reason to care about the wrestlers. Like, this match, the story is that Chika Goto is not good enough for this title shot. And then the story is that she is, in fact, not good enough for this title shot. Also, she's kind of fat.
Well, I'm not going to touch that part of it.
That's part of this. Like, Yuzuki grabbed her stomach and was like, we got to do something about this. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, and it is weird when they're on commentary being like, Chika Goto has already challenged for this title recently and she lost. And I'm like, cool.
And then Yuzuki's just like, yeah, you can challenge whenever you want because I know I'll beat you.
But it's the exact same booking pattern that Stardom fell into.
Yep.
When it was like, okay, we've got 50 big shows we gotta fill. And we're going to use these 10 people and they're just going to be lemmings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I need a title challenger, they're going to challenge and they're going to lose. And they're just going to have to deal with the fact that they lose every title challenge.
Now get out there and kiss each other.
Like, who? Okay. The champion, the singles, current singles champions, Mayu, Victoria, Miku, who is beating them in this company?
Mayu. Mayu's just winning all the belts.
Like, that might, you know, you look through it. Okay, Utami could come back and win one, I guess. Sari Yamaoka, I think, has a chance.
Yeah.
Has a good chance. Like, that could be a big, oh, she's finally ready, she does it. I guess my Sakurai could come back and win. I guess they could do that. Other than that, I'm like, who else is there?
Yeah. It would be the most Rossy thing ever to have Mayu win all of the belts and then retire with them.
But I don't even think she's going to do that. Like,
no, I don't think so either.
It almost feels to me like, although I don't even know how you would get that. Like, Sari Yamaoka would beat Mayu for the Superfly title. And then Mayu would beat Miku for the world title. But then it's like, do you have Sari beat Mayu again?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, there's just so few people that I'm like, yep, you could be world title material one day. Like, they're not there.
Megaton.
Ugh. I mean, maybe. And now they've got, you know, the tag titles, the trios title. It's like almost everyone in the company is a champion.
Uh-huh.
It's like the champions and then the people who, it's like Megaton and now Ishikawa. Like people who you're like, will there never be any champion?
Yeah.
It's just such a, it's just so poorly constructed. And I'm like, of you grabbed, you were starting a new company. Now, maybe they reached out to a lot of people and a lot of people said, forget you. Very possible with Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
You probably should have picked some people up from around, you know, they got Siri at the time, who seems to be mostly not here. But the only other person you could think to grab was Nagisa Nozaki. Like, you couldn't convince anyone else? I mean, good for her that she's gotten this gig now in a big company where she can, you know, do her foot bit of kicking people and be in the heel unit and sort of mess around. But it's just such a badly...
It would work if you can get it.
It's like, hey, I have a great idea for a company. I'll hire three very good wrestlers and then stake the entire rest of the roster on 25 to 30 rookies. Like Miku... Thank God she's good.
Yeah.
You know, Victoria was going to get pushed, but she was already sort of in stardom as people saying she's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been
well, but
Miku.
She's like, she's the aura god or whatever.
Yeah, but people were already big on it. That wasn't a thing where it's like, oh, this unknown person, I'm going to pull them in and do something. People were already like, oh, she's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't a guess. I'm like, okay, you've hit on Miku and you've hit on, I would say, probably Mai Sakurai.
Uh-huh.
Who has gotten a lot better. And there's a couple people, it's like, okay, Sir Yamaoka. Again, that's three. And there are some people like Shino, Yamasaki, you know, Shozuki, who I think are improving, getting better, could get better. But there's just a lot of detritus on this roster.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, Hummingbird comes in. This is exciting, and Hummingbird is doing really nothing.
In my head, I'm always like, ah, Hummingbird's better than she actually is.
Well, I think part of that is probably that in her first match, she nearly
died.
Like, ended her career.
Yeah.
In, like, the third move.
That is very true.
It's hard to sort of wipe that from your mind. Yeah, it's just not very good. And that leads to matches like our main event.
Oh, goodness.
The Marigold World title match, Miku Aono defeating Chiaki in 17 minutes and 27 seconds. I referred to this earlier. This match on Cage Match, the third worst rated match on the show at 5.72. The only other matches ranked worse were the Megaton three-way and the Utami three-way.
Yep.
And the Utami three-way by not that much. Like, this could end up being the second worst rated match on the show.
Yeah.
Like, this is just a sort of, we need a title shot, it doesn't really matter, you sort of thing.
There was a lot of funny about this match. Like, first off, Chiaki's entrance gear with the suit of armor is fucking hysterical. And I know it's not supposed to be, but she just looks so goddamn ridiculous walking to the ring in that thing. My other favorite funny part was when... Well, it took them forever to take the turnbuckle off. Like, they spent so much time doing that. And then Chiaki sold getting bumped into the turnbuckle as though she was being electrocuted, which was pretty great. And then the other good part was when the during the cheating nonsense, and Chiaki was like, I'm going to cut Miku's hair with the scissors. And the referee was like, absolutely not. Give me that scissors. Hold on. I'm going to hand it directly right back to your friends. Like, what are you doing?
I liked when they were doing the corner business and Chiaki was like, Miku's going in the corner. And then she just sort of stopped herself and was like, nope, I'm just going to lay down.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Kelly, 895 people bought tickets for this show.
Yeah, that's...
I should say 895 people. Marigold claims that 895 people bought tickets. What on this show... Like, look, I don't know. Are the numbers being worked? I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sitting around counting seats. What is drawing people to this promotion?
I don't know. The Rossi cult of personality.
I mean, I think that is it. And I think it's the weird, like, not to go here. And we almost never go here. It's like the weird side of Joshi where it's like, we're just here to look at the women.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, but thing is that like nothing about the in-ring appeal like is specifically pervert appealing, you know?
Yes, that's true.
But I think maybe they're just like, well, it is Rossi. It's coming.
I just don't, you know.
I mean, he does crank out. They do crank out the photo books.
Yes. It just, yeah.
And something else gets cranked out to the photo books. Am I right? Am I right, fellas?
Jesus. we've gone too far.
Not the kid ones, though. Definitely not the kid ones.
It just confuses me so much that I'm like, what? What is here? And then. The idea of what is here that is not done better in a different promotion.
Yeah, no, you know, there's... unless it's just like, oh, I would like to... That is it. That is the only appeal this company has.
You know, I said last week, you know, sometimes the Tokyo Joshi comedy, I'm like, oh, gosh, again. I would watch Hyper Masao every moment of every second for the rest of my life. Over Megaton.
Yeah.
Like, not even close. Like, Megaton's... The joke of Megaton is what? She's bad? Bad wrestler?
Okay, is there... In Japan, is there a different connotation to the number 69 than there is here?
That I don't know.
Because... Like, Taguchi's thing is 69, and her number is 69, and they're both comedy wrestlers. So is 69 a funny number in Japan, aside from being the sex number?
That I have no knowledge. I am not a 69 historian.
Yeah. If anyone
a global
if anyone can tell me about Japanese 69s, that would be great.
It's just like there's no joke here except I am a bad wrestler. Like
yeah.
That was Stalker. That was Stalker's bit. He was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and his thing was like, oh, I get pinned in 5 seconds. Like, that's something you build on. Megaton's thing seems to be, I am bad at wrestling and I just sort of wander around the ring for a while and then the yeah. match ends. Like, ah, they tied me. Like, why are Tachibana and Ishikawa worried about tying Megaton up? I mean,
I
part of
know.
It is, oh, we're annoyed. You're an annoying person. And we'd rather just wrestle each other. But it's like, she stinks. Like, who cares? Let her stand in the corner like a weirdo. And then, I guess, break up your pins every once in a while. Or just kick her once and she'll go... You know, it's horrible. Marigold, you're not doing it.
No, you're very bad at it.
That was Marigold. I will say... One great thing about Marigold is that after the show, I watched the Stardom Cinderella Tournament matches. And let me tell you, these little Cinderella Tournament matches might as well have been the greatest matches I've ever seen. Like, I was like, oh my God, like competent work, like working with some sort of pace. Like, we're interesting people. Amazing. The first match, like Rion and Yuna Mizumori. I'm like, you guys are so great. You're so much better. And that leads us into the Cinderella Tournament. The Cinderella Tournament, 3 shows in the last 3 days. The first 2 shows were the first round matches on March 6th. The results were as follows. Rion defeated Yuna Mizumori. Aya Sakura defeated Fukigen Death. Fukigen Death, I see that AI background you're using, the AI entrance video you're using, and I'm very against it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Looks shitty. Looks bad.
She's not the only one.
Yeah, but that was one where I was like, this is horrendous.
Oh, but you did. So you didn't see the show from today because Saida's got some real bad AI garbage in her thing.
I'm like, eh. Anyway, Rani Yagami defeated Waka Tsukiyama. Natsupoi defeated Tabata. Hanako and Yuriahime went to a double countout. Got very close to the ring. But did not make it back in. Maki Ito defeating Kikyo Furusawa. Fuachan and Sayori Ano going to a draw over the top rope. And Hanan defeated Momo Kogo in 11 minutes and 37 seconds. Look, I think at this point we sort of know now that this tournament is a little bit stretched out. These first couple days, as it is with the Max Hart tournament as well, a little bit different, but these first couple days are not blow away matches by and large. There were matches I enjoyed. I thought the Maki Ito and Furusawa match went way too long. It felt really long.
Yeah, 13:07 really stands out against the rest of these match times.
It felt endless. At one point, there was a long stretch of Furusawa being in the submission, crawling to the ropes. The crowd was cheering, so the crowd was into it, but it just felt like it went on. And I was like, what's going on? Why are we doing this with Makihito? I think the best match of the first day by far was Fuachan and Sayori Ano. Thought it was very good. I mean, Fuachan continues to be like shockingly good.
Yeah.
I'm shockingly like invested in this weird like character or whatever story.
This strange little YouTuber that appeared and turned out to be good at wrestling.
Like with the weird clips in her hair, which I've never understood. But I'm like, oh, you're good. She had another, again, another good opponent. They are also doing a very good job of putting her into places where, not saying that she's totally being led by the hand or anything, but she's being put in spots to succeed. And perfectly fine with, draws, time limit draws, double count outs. That's what this whole tournament really relies on a lot. So totally fine with it being a draw, sort of keeps her, you know. I think you probably could have beaten her again, but I think at some point they want to stop having her feel like a, you know, or trying to not make her feel like a loser. Mm-hmm. So totally fine with that. On March 7th, the results were Tomika Inaba defeating Anne Kanaya, Azusa Inaba defeating Lady C, Saeeda defeating Kyoko Kotatsu, Hina defeating Zena, Miyu Amasaki defeating Rina Yamashita, Sayaka Karar defeating Saki Kashima, Rina defeating Akira Kurigane, and Ami Sorey defeating B. Priestley. Some longer matches here, but again, sort of similar feeling. Nothing, I don't think anything to go out of your way to see. But both of these shows, the first show and the second show, very easy watches. If you sort of are quick on the fast forward button, you can sort of get through these in like an hour and 15 or an hour and a half. So not long slogs of shows, you know, matches are all pretty quick. So if you got time, worth checking out, but nothing really that you're going to miss if you don't watch. And Kelly, you watched, today's show, once this releases tomorrow, will be yesterday's show, the Cinderella Tournament second round matches.
Yes. Yeah, I managed to catch it while it was live, so I popped it on. You had Hanan defeating Rana Yagami, Rion defeating Natsupoi by ring out, Hina defeating Azusa Inaba, Sayaka Karara defeating Tomoko Inaba, Rina defeating Ami Sore, and Miyu Amasaki defeating Saeeda. I thought it was a good show. I think everything ranged around like 3.5, 3.75, or 3.25. Like nothing bad, but nothing like, oh, you need to see this. But just, I really like this tournament. I like how everything feels like it has a sense of urgency just because you got the time limit and stuff, and you could also toss people out. So it's a fun tournament. So I'd say it was worth checking out, especially because, you know, we're getting into the later rounds now. Hanan versus Rana Yagami may have actually been my favorite match of the show. It was a very, like, sprinty kind of match. And Hanan's suplexes are looking incredible lately. Rion and Natsupoi was pretty good. It really felt like Rion was trying to fight the same kind of match that Natsupoi always does and was getting her ass beat at it, but then she just caught her at the right moment and tossed her out. So she got one over on her. That was fun. Hina versus Azusa Inaba was more of a technical match. Sayaka Karara versus Inaba was really good. I liked that. That was probably... Actually, no, I think that was my favorite. But there was a bit where Inaba hit a knee strike on Karara that looked so good. I really thought, I'm like, just call the match. Just call the match, make it a flash KO. That looked so great. I think the Rina and Ami Sore match at 13:10 felt very long. But also, I was getting sleepy at that point. And then in the main event, you know, Saeeda using AI slop, bad, don't like that. I'm glad she lost. But Saeeda does take like an insane person, very much like, I'm just going to stand straight up on my head when you DDT me. So overall, good show. I'd recommend checking it out. It's one of those you can get through it pretty quick.
Yeah, that did remind me, actually, the Lady C Azusa Inaba match on the 7th. There was a lariat that Lady C hit that looked and sounded really crazy, and I was like, whoa. Lady C. So that was the, or that is the Cinderella tournament so far. What else has been going on in Joshi in Oz Academy? Rin defeated Kohaku and Tsubasa Kuragaki in a Pioneer three-way match for that title. The International Ribbon Tag Team titles changed hands on February 23rd. Makoto and Sumika Yanagawa defeating Manami Katsu and Misa Kagura to win those titles. And then 2 weeks later on March 8th, successfully defended them against Kiku and Tsukina Umino. In Diana, Debbie Keitel successfully defending the Diana World title, defeating Rina Amakura. And in Wave, same thing happening with their tag titles. New tag champions, Haruka Umasaki and Hanaka, defeating Hiragi Karumi and Mochi Natsumi to win the titles and then successfully defending them against Maika Osaki and Mio Shirai. So that is everything that has been going on. What is coming up? Well, Stardom has the Cinderella Tournament quarterfinals on March 11th, the semifinals and finals on March 15th. The quarterfinals will be as follows. Hanan will face off against Maki Ito. Aya Sakura will face off against Rion. Sayaka Karara, last year's champion, last year's winner. I don't know. Do they call them champion? Last year's winner of this tournament.
Last
year's Cinderella story. Facing off against Rina, and then Hina facing off against Miyu Amasaki. Kelly, you have a finals prediction.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking one side of the bracket, the semifinal is going to be Rina versus Hina, because that just kind of makes sense. I think Hanan wins. So I'd say Hanan versus Rina.
Well, I'm going to be different and say Rina was the runner up last year. Part of me wants to say like Rion versus Rina and have Rina win it. Is that too obvious? Maybe. I just think Rion defeating Natsupoi feels slightly too big to have her folded out.
I think that, but I could also see that being like, hey, she got a big win. That's all she really needs.
Yeah, it just feels to me like Hanan is sort of already above the level of this. Like, yeah. It seems clear that they're trying to use this as like, oh, this is a very young wrestler. And Hanan, you know, former tag champion, sort of doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her beating Maki because it doesn't seem like they are... Like beating Furusawa in 13 minutes, the next round she got the bye because she was supposed to face the winner of Fuwa-chan and Sayori Ano. So it feels like she hasn't really beaten anyone. Now maybe that's Hanan and it is Ito and Rion.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Ito wins.
I just, again, don't know that either Ito or Hanan needs it. Now maybe they do Ito and Aya Sakura again.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go with Rina winning the whole thing.
Okay. Makes sense.
Maybe seems too obvious, but I do think Hina versus Rina is an obvious, like, hey, we should do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the upcoming Cinderella tournament action, but is not the only tournament coming up in the world of Joshi. The Seedling singles tournament continues. They are down to the final four in the A block. It will be Hiroyo Matsumoto against Mio Shirai again, because Hiroyo is the champion. The title, the Beyond the Sea title, will be on the line. The winner will advance to the finals and have to defend the title there against the winner of Nagisa Nozaki and Ayame Sasamura. I hope Ayami gets through. I think I've said on this show, I think she's great and has always been underused, so would love to see her get that opportunity and get a title match. But we will have to see. There is some American Joshi action coming up in the next 2 weeks. On March 17th and 18th, Tokyo Joshi will be back in the big state of Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, as they say, for two shows on the 17th and the 18th. The card on the 17th is as follows. It will be Suzume facing off against Uta Takami. Shino Suzuki will take on the former Kaya Torabami, now rechristened Sakura Hattori.
What? When did this happen?
Oh, did you not see slash hear about this?
No.
There was a video of Kaya Torabami like wandering off into the woods. She was like, I'm a ninja and I'm wandering off into the woods. And then she showed up and was like, I will be back. But I will be someone new. And that someone new is a person named Sakura Hattori.
So is she like losing the mask? Is she just
unknown?
Okay. We don't know.
Literally the picture accompanying these show announcements is like a black blob. It's like a cartoon, like person.
That's wild. I totally missed this.
So that will be, I believe it's being revealed. They have a house show on the 15th where I think that's the official reveal.
Okay.
But obviously probably a lot of people will see her for the first time on these Texas shows. I hope it's good. I like that they're doing something with her as someone who's been on the show a million times and said they should do something with her. Are they doing a lot with her? It's unclear. She's going to be in the Iron Man Rumble at Grand Princess, so it's not like she's getting a mega push, but they're doing something. That's interesting to me. So that will be on the show. A tag match, Hyper Misao will team with Mifu Ashida to take on Palm Harajuku and Raku. Miyu Yamashita will team with Ariso Endo. They will be teaming together also at Grand Princess. They will take on Mizuki and Yuki Aino. That should be a very good match.
Yeah.
And then the main event, they're here, Kelly. I know you've been waiting. I know you've been anticipating. It will be Shoko Nakajima and Wakana Uehara taking on the debuting Inspirations. Are they Inspiration or The Inspiration?
I think they're The Inspiration.
Jesse McKay and Cassie Lee. That will be, I believe, the main event.
No. There's another match.
Of day one. On day one?
Yeah.
What's the other match? I'm on the Tokyo Joshi site.
I am too. Watanabe and Rika Tetsumi versus Yuki Kamifuku and Yuki Arai.
Very weird. They have them all listed, and then they have the main event listed in a different section. Anyway, thank you for the catch. Yes, the main, well, we don't know. Maybe it will be, or maybe it won't be.
I hope it is.
Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tetsumi versus Yuki Arai and Yuki Kamifuku. I almost forgot. I mean, Yuki Arai and Miyu Watanabe has been the story.
Yes.
Of Tokyo Joshi over the last month.
Yeah, Arai picked up a win over Miyu.
Yeah, certainly I think one of their most interesting builds they've ever done for these matches. So has me more excited, which I should be the point.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to their match.
And then on the 18th, the card will be Yuki Arai will team with Mifu Ashida to take on Shino Suzuki and Ariso Endo. It will be Hyper Masao taking on the newly christened Sakura Hattori. Yuki Kamifuku will team with Wakana Uehara to take on Palm Harajuku and Raku. Rika Tatsumi will take on Yuki Aino. Miyu Yamashita will take on Shoko Nakajima. And Miyu Watanabe will team with Suzume to take on Mizuki and Uta Takami. Another very solid card.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first show has a little bit more intrigue, sort of leading into Grand Princess. I believe the last I checked, I haven't checked in a second, I believe these shows are not selling all that well.
Oh.
I think they may have slightly overestimated.
These ticket prices are kind of nuts.
What are, I'd never looked because I was never going to go.
Front row is $199.99.
Wow.
Second and third row are $120. Four and five are $85. And then there's like the north section that's separate where the first row is $150, two and three is $80, and then four and five is $70. The outer area, rows one through six are $55, as are 7 through 12. The bleachers, the first row is $40, and then the rest of the bleachers seats are $60. I ain't paying $60 to sit on a bleacher.
No, I would not either, but quite expensive. They are running. I mean, they're running this. They're then running in Canada. Okay, so the last update was February 27th. So this may, I'll check further, but they had distributed 575 tickets out of a possible 2,138.
That's way too big of a venue for them.
Yeah, it's very big. It seems like mostly the front couple rows have sold, and then the front couple rows of the, I don't know, 100 level, I guess you would probably call that.
Okay.
But doesn't seem, I don't believe there's been any further update. But hopefully they sell a little bit more, but yes, I think may have been a little bit of a misinterpretation because they have that huge number.
Yeah. I think Icarus flew too close to the sun here.
Sort of tying on to AEW, and it's possible that that was maybe a good portion of what was causing that.
Well, and with that, you had a big fly-in crew.
Yes, correct.
Oh. Where this, it's just people in Texas.
So we will see, but looking forward to seeing those shows. It will be interesting to see the inspiration, how they work in Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah.
I guess. And then speaking of, we talked of it before, Marigold has a Corican Hall show on March 14th, not February 14th, March 14th. The two matches announced for that show are, Kelly, get ready, it will be Kurishio Tokyo Japan defending the International World Junior Championship against Megaton.
I really hate the face that Jiro's making in this graphic. He looks like one of those like dummies you use to practice CPR on.
And then the, well, I don't know if this will be the main event. There's only two matches announced so far. It will be the first ever defense of the 3D Trios titles. The champions Mai Sakurai, Natsumi Shozuki, and Arina Yamanaka will defend against the super team of Mayu Iwatani, Victoria Yuzuki, and Komomo Minami. So that should be solid.
Okay, I have another comment about the match graphic.
Sure.
So Komomo and Yuzuki are staring straight at the viewer while Mayu is looking off to the side, and it looks very strange.
But the other team is looking sort of at her.
Yes.
So if anything, Victoria and Komomo Minami are the incorrect ones. all right, so that is Marigold. Sendai Girls has a number of smaller shows, nothing too big on that, but they have been off for a bit, so they should be back. And that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks. So we have reached the end. So of course, we throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
Pocopia. It's the new video game that is my favorite It is a Pokemon game where you play a Ditto that has woken up in a post-apocalyptic world, and you decide you're going to make yourself look like a person and try and revitalize the landscape, and you make a bunch of little Pokemon friends along the way. It's wonderful. I love it. I spend most of my time spitting on the ground to make things green again.
Yeah, but what do you do in the video game?
I mean, that's also what I do in the game. But yeah, that's when I'm going around. And see, it's on a Switch, so it's portable. So I take it with me when I'm outside spitting on the ground. So in the game, I can spit on the ground.
Sure.
But there was a bit the other day. I was up on a cliff, spitting on the ground. And I look out towards the beach, which is quite a ways away from where I am. And I see Hitmonchan and Drifloon have gone from their homes in like the nice grassy area to go over to the beach to play with Magikarp. And it was beautiful. That's true friendship. They went over to him because he can't come to them because he's a fish. And everyone was having a great time. And I was just like, wow, this is a game about connections.
Well, there you go. I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten like an active recommendation.
Yeah, I love Pocopia so much. I'm probably going to go play it as soon as we stop recording.
So there you go, an official Kelly recommendation. And we have reached the end of another episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time for even more Joshi action. So until then, stay cool.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.